This show is brought to you by earpeeler.com.
Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Tonight's episode of Radioactive Metal is dedicated to the memories of Huntress vocalist Jill Janis and former Annihilator vocalist and DOA founder Randy Rampage.
Hey, this is Vanessa Nocera, also known as Alucarda Bello, with Cauldron Burial and Vault Wraith, and you are listening to Radioactive Metal.
Horns up, metalheads. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Kareem, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a special Into the Cauldron episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 518, and I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
And this is Aaron.
Hey, guys, do you know why the cup of coffee called the police?
No, why?
Because it got mugged.
Well,
Then
we know it wasn't true cult coffee, because if it was true cult coffee, we would have sucked its soul right out of them. So, dear listeners, in case you haven't guessed, this episode is sponsored by True Cult Coffee. Pour yourself a steaming hot cup of black True Cult Coffee. Have the blackest of black coffees, York Helvete. And get yourself a subscription at trvekvltcoffee.com. Interact with them on the Insta pages at trve.kvlt.coffee.com. No, crap. No, just, yeah, those three dots. Yeah, no .com on that one. It's the Instagram. Just start typing in trve dot, and trust me, it comes up every time. So, listeners, we know you love the show, so support our sponsors, because we love True Cult Coffee. It's been delicious. And with that, I mean, you know, we don't want any more coffee to get assaulted or abused here, so let's get into the show quickly.
Okay. For sure. Hey, bros, what's going on tonight? How is everyone doing?
Good. Good, pretty good.
And I am tired.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm there, too. You know, it was hard to get back to work this week and try to get back into the schedule.
Right.
Because, you know, on vacation for 2 weeks, I was going to bed at, like, midnight and getting up at, like, 8:30, 9 a.m., you know. And now, shit, I have to try and get to bed by 9:30 so I can get up at 5 a.m., you know. So,
right.
Yeah, not fun.
Yeah. And it's just kind of been a crap week, actually.
Hell yeah.
Like, just yeah. With everything.
With the metal news.
Oh, yeah. There is some cool stuff that, just before we kind of get on with the metal fix, and we're going to pay proper tribute a little bit later, but I just wanted to just throw something out, start the show off with something positive. Okay. 37 years ago this week, as we speak, the very first heavy metal video aired on MTV. Can you maybe just gander a guess as to what that video was?
Video Kill the Radio Star.
That was the first metal video.
Hanson, Mbop.
Okay, you're out of this.
Yeah, get out of here.
That is way too many times you've referenced Mbop over the last couple months now. Hey, what the fuck, man?
I love that song. I can't lie about it. What can I tell you?
I was hoping. I was expecting you to say, "Well, my son likes that," and then it's like, "Well, okay."
No, I think it. I'm pretty sure it was an Iron Maiden video, and it, wasn't it the Women in Uniform?
Was it Run to the Hills?
No, no. I was actually thinking that too when I first saw this. Okay, it's like, oh, Maiden, of course. Well, that kind of stands to reason. MTV and all that. It's got to be something off Number of the Beast. No, no. Go all the way back to the very first record, the Iron Maiden self-titled. Okay. And the song Iron Maiden was the very first heavy metal video aired on MTV. I'm like, when I heard that, my jaw dropped.
I had no idea there was a video.
Yeah, a couple of weeks later, they added Wrathchild.
Oh, wow. Well. Great song.
Yeah,
okay. Crazy.
Yeah. And as well, guys, just before we get on with the grunt here, I just wanted to throw this out because I just saw it today. As you know, I'm kicking back at work and all that. And it's like, you know, I saw this and I definitely got to share this. Today is the anniversary, 34 years ago now, that the first Wasp album hit the racks.
Oh, wow.
Today, yeah.
Wanna be somebody.
Be somebody too.
Yeah. And of course, apart from all the wicked tunes on that record and for putting Wasp on the map, the real controversy behind that record was the song Animal.
Fuck like a beast.
One of my top 10 favorite songs of all time.
I love that song.
I'm not even being a smartass. It honestly is.
We should put it on the Valentine's Day episode.
Oh, fuck, fucking rights, man. Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, anyways. I'm surprised we haven't done it.
Well, yeah. It's definitely coming. That song was...
Oh, God.
Oh, fuck. It didn't even hit me until Aaron started giggling. It was like, oh, fuck.
I couldn't believe you said that.
Apparently, that song was supposed to be on said debut album, but like Capitol Records had cold feet about the whole thing and they deleted it. And various independent labels picked it up and put it out, you know, independently and all that. Eventually it made its way onto Tipsy Gore's Filthy 15 and all that. And it went totally down in history. But yeah, I remember buying the Wasp album. It was basically, we saw the, you know, I Want to Be Somebody video on the Power Hour like once. And then we saw it on the rack a couple days ago and we was, yoink, I'll take that. Yeah. And then we just cranked it on.
That album is funny because back then I had it. I have it on CD now, but it's like, I liked it, but I didn't at the same time. It was one of those weird albums because I did not like the production. I thought it was too polished. You know, I was really getting into Metallica at the time and stuff. So I thought it was too polished. And, you know, it's like, yeah, I liked it, but not. And one day I saw it on CD and it was super cheap. So I bought it and I sat down, listened to it. Man, this was maybe 10 years ago. And I was like, God damn, this is a good fucking album.
I actually learned, and we should be saving all this for a special Wasp episode if we ever do one, but I actually learned the Pledge of Allegiance, the American Pledge of Allegiance, because of the school day song. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I learned that from
Wasp.
Wasp, yeah.
I've said for years that you're an American, and thank you for proving it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the funny thing about that now is, like, Blackie Lawless is... And sorry, everyone, this is not our special Wasp episode, okay? This is just... Here we are off on a tangent already. Yeah, he's... He has found religion.
He is a born-again Christian, I guess.
Yeah, I had no idea it was lost.
Yeah, well, and he's totally will not do Animal Live anymore, which I was bummed out. I saw Wasp once. I don't know when the record shop was open. I remember Corey Thomas from Ninja Cat, before I was working with them, he came in. Hey, Snowy, can I put this flyer up? You know, I'm bringing Wasp to town. I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, fuck you,
and,
right?
And thus started a lifelong friendship.
It did, pretty much did, yeah. I could not imagine life without Mr. Thomas and Ninja Cat and all that, and I'm sure he would say the same about me, but enough of this. How are you guys
you're too
doing?
Humble. You're too humble.
Well, you know, hey.
Hey, you asked us how we were doing. This is how we went to talk about Wasp.
So, right, okay.
All right. Yeah.
Let's get our fix on.
Yeah, let's get on with it.
And what cool shit did we do this week? Find out in our Metal Fix.
Okay, who wants to talk about what and everything that they did? Good stuff.
Okay, well, I'll start. I don't remember if I mentioned this, but one of the promos that we got, like, maybe a couple months ago, was by a band called Defiatory. Did I talk about this?
No.
I don't remember it.
No.
An album called Hades Rising, and I've been listening to it, and it's really good stuff. It's modern thrash, I would say. It's thrash, and the vocals are not, you know, they're not growls, but they're not clean either. You know, guy has just like a gruff voice, and awesome fucking riffs. And I just can't get enough of this album, man. It's so good. It's like I said, we got the promo a couple months ago, and I'm going to need to go buy this album because
right on.
It's a band called Defiatory, and the album is Hades Rising. So you guys, you know, try and find it and check it out. Maybe it's probably on Spotify or something, or there's probably some tracks on YouTube. So I definitely recommend you guys check that out. And the only other thing I wanted to talk about is that podcast, Dead Rock Stars, that I've started listening to. With Joel McIver. You know, he's a writer who's written a lot of books and works for Bass Guitar Magazine. And Mick Wall, who's one of those legendary journalists from England, also rock journalist. They did an episode about Vinnie Paul and Dimebag.
Oh wow!
Wow! Holy shit! Okay, yeah. That's what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah, so it was really interesting because they both knew. I'm not sure if McIver knew Dimebag, but I know Mick Wall definitely did. You know, but like Mick Wall said that a couple months before Vinny passed away, he did an interview about Dimebag. You know, he wanted to write an article about Dimebag, so he talked to Vinny, and he said they did not talk about his death at all. They were talking about his life and celebrating his life, and he said, you know, and said Vinny was such a great guy, so easy to talk to, and you know, he says I took to him right away, and he says, and I think he liked me too, you know. So, but I don't think Vinny Paul ever met anybody he didn't like except Phil Anselmo.
He didn't like, yeah, for sure,
except Phil Anselmo, you know.
Well, you have to. Well, and I'm not about to bash Phil, okay, but like you have to be a real asshead, like to piss a guy like, you know. Like, well, those, like the brothers off. Like, you really have to put a lot of time.
They talked a little bit about it, and, you know, they were around the time that, you know, that Pantera kind of disbanded, that, you know, apparently Phil Anselmo had a lot of back issues. He was in a lot of pain, and he was heavily into drugs and alcohol and stuff. So they said Anselmo was a miserable human being at that point. You know, so they said they're not surprised that, you know, they weren't surprised that the Pantera kind of went away. He says, but what didn't help is that after, you know, they disbanded this, that some of the stuff that Anselmo was saying about Dimebag in interviews and stuff like that. But again, still, he was kind of out of his mind, you know, totally delusional and stuff. So, but I guess Vinny never forgave him for saying stuff like that. So,
no, you know, probably not too much. And it's all irrelevant now. It doesn't matter. Like, the brothers are gone, and the important thing is that Phil Anselmo is still with us. Like, that's
And Rex Brown.
Yeah.
So anyway, Dead Rock Stars. It's a good podcast. You know, you guys should check it out because they, you know, these guys, they talk about artists that they actually knew and actually talked to, you know. So it's interesting. It's really interesting. I mean, and they do a thing at the end where they rate the dead rock star, and they say, okay, well, from 1 to 5, how much would you what would you score him on partying? You know, was the guy party animal? Was he, you know, and then they do, oh, I would give him 2 stars, oh, 5 stars. You know, dying as a marketing move. You know, what would you? Like they've said, he said, yeah, it's maybe a little grim, but you can't deny that when some of these guys die, their catalog just goes through the roof, you know?
Oh, yeah. And I've gone on air and just went off about that shit.
Yeah.
So Dimebag, yeah. Out of 5 stars for partying, please tell me you got 8.
I can't remember. I know that they scored high pretty much on everything. So, because they, you know, like they were saying, like Vinny, when after Dimebag passed, you know, Vinny started his label, was it Big Vin Records or something like that?
Yeah, and I think
Yeah, and then he was putting out the Dime Vision videos and CDs, you know, that some of the stuff his brother had recorded. So yeah, he scored high on that too, with dying as a marketing, you know, thing, you know. So, but yeah, like I said, you know, it's interesting. You know, it's, you know, the guys, you know, the two journalists, they're funny, you know, and they don't try to make light of anything. They just, you know, they talk about these guys, you know, that they knew, and you know, they're telling funny stories, and they're giving their opinion as to what could have happened and if they had still been alive. And it's interesting. It's a good listen. I like it a lot.
It sounds like it. And like these journalists, like we love band interviews and all that, but like, just imagine like sitting down, you know, with a couple Lemmys with some of these journalists, and we know a handful of them personally and all that. It's like the stories, mm-hmm. you know, that they must, you know, I don't know how many times like these journalists would say, can you turn that off, like your recorder, and then go into like this wicked story that would never, you know, go beyond those walls, but it just, I that would be amazing. Just some of these guys. Like,
well, wow. a guy like Mick Wall, he's been on tour buses and toured with bands, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, like that, you know, so yeah. So interesting podcast. I definitely would check it out if I were you guys.
I'm going to. That's awesome. So, well, anything else?
No, that's it. That's it.
Cool, man. What about you, dude?
All right. So I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast with Henry Rollins this week. I mentioned a little bit on last week's show. Finally got through it. It's a long one, man. It's like 2.5 hours, I think.
Oh, that's not bad.
Well, but I mean, I thought, because I've never listened to the Joe Rogan show before, so I didn't know if it was like Henry's only on for an hour and there's other guests. Yeah. No, man, it's him and Henry shooting the shit for 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. And
if anyone can go for 2 hours, it's Rollins.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it's fantastic. Like, they cover everything. Like, heck, they're talking about cryotherapy, which I'm like, what's this?
What?
The cryotherapy where you're like in the immersion tank and then you're basically, your body's frozen quickly, but for a short amount of time, and to activate your endorphins. And I'm thinking, I'm like, and they're talking about it and what it's good for. I'm like, oh man, that could actually really help me out. So I'm going to check into that. And they're just talking about the creative process, the, you know, the muse, how they, you know, just, it was just a fantastic, fantastic show. They're talking about, you know, obviously politics and Trump and that sort of stuff, but not in the way that everybody else talks about Trump. Like they, and man, I got to respect Rollins so much, because when he talks about something like that, he's like, I'm not going to bring a problem unless I have 3 different possible solutions. Here's what we need to do. And it's just like, you know, it's just fantastic. And a lot of it is kind of what he's talking about in the Showtime special. Rock, did you get a chance to watch it?
No, I can't do I thought I could do a free trial, but I guess my wife used it at some point and I didn't know about it. So I can't do it right now. So
okay. Bummer.
Yeah.
Bummer. You know what? Try the app on your phone.
Oh, yeah.
download the app on your phone and try it over Wi-Fi or something like that. But so I watched the special after we recorded last weekend. It's obviously it's fantastic. It's a 1 hour set, which anybody who's seen Rollins live knows that that was edited down because he doesn't ever go for just an hour. You know, but it's fantastic. But then really, I mean, like musically, like other than that, this week, I listened to a little bit of Dillinger Escape Plan. I went back and started listening to some Snapcase because
nice.
The story Harrison Bergeron. Harrison Bergeron is one of my favorite Snapcase songs and led me to the short story by, I'm going to screw this up, is Jack Kerouac? Yes, Jack Kerouac.
Mm-hmm.
No. Is it?
That name is, that sounds like the proper pronunciation. Is that what you're getting at?
Was he the writer or is it? Damn it. All right. This is gonna make for good radio. I've got to Google this one, but but anyway, that song was my first my first introduction to that story. I'd never heard of it before, so I looked up the story and I had read it, and Kurt Vonnegut. Damn it, Kurt Vonnegut. I screw that up every time. But it was published in a book called Welcome to the Monkey House, which is a bunch of short stories by Kurt Vonnegut. And he wrote a lot of futuristic dystopian society sort of stories. And it was funny. I was talking. I was actually talking to a coworker this week, comparing what she was doing to like almost like a Harrison Bergeron kind of situation to herself, because you could tell she was holding back and we weren't getting like the full experience, you know, and she wasn't really letting her personality shine. I said, it's almost like the Harrison Bergeron with the Handicapper General. So that's why I wanted to go back and listen to that song. But really, you know, like the big thing for me this week, man, has been when you let us know yesterday about Jill, Jill Chance. And I'm really bothered by it. I can't even 100% figure out why it's bothering me so much. Maybe it's just because she's talked very openly about her mental illnesses and her suicidal tendencies and, you know, that she was getting help. For any of our listeners that want to know more, check out the article in Psychology Today. Google Jill Janis, Psychology Today. The article comes right up. It's free. There's nothing to subscribe to or anything like that. You can read it. It's a phenomenal read, and you know, it's well written, where it's very accessible. So it's not like a lot of technical terms, but it's still very intelligently written, and you're going to get a lot of stuff and maybe a lot of things that you don't want to know. Like, for example, Snowy, I was telling Rock off air that she'd been diagnosed with like multiple personality disorder or dissociative personality disorder. Mm-hmm. And so essentially, like, you know, she made her living for a while as a model, and her model persona was Penelope Tuesday. She's like, I did that for 10 years. She's like, one day I woke up and I had breast implants and didn't know where they came from.
Wow.
And she's like, that's when I went to my, you know, she's like, then like her family saw her and like, whoa, how this happened. And she didn't know. And I think that was one of the first times that she went and started getting some like real serious help, you know. But I mean, and they draw parallels in the article between like the tortured artist and mental illness, because there's always this, you know, that creative muse that seems to go hand in hand with this. And I mean, I interviewed her, you've interviewed her, dude, this was a woman. I mean, she's only 3 years younger than me. So this is the kind of woman that I wanted to know in high school, and not, you know, not just like a male female kind of relationship, but just, this is the kind of person I wanted to hang out with, somebody that understood where I was coming from, because I grew up listening to classical music. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And so did she. She was touring the world as an opera singer at the age of 14. And she was torn between these two worlds. Like, you don't see a lot of people that love classical, that love heavy metal, unless they can see that relationship, which she saw, you know, and it came through in her writing and the musicality of the band. And I will never forget that conversation and just being so enamored with her and be like, oh my goodness, where have you been all my life?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's the kind of person like, so what are you doing next week? Can we meet up for lunch again? You know, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. She was just that damn cool. And just, man, when you said that, you know, it's just like, fuck. And I was telling Rock a little bit off air, and I'll keep this one short, but just, ladies and gentlemen, fucking be nice to one another And, you know, if somebody looks like they're having a down day, fucking say something, even if it's a perfect stranger. Like, I had a friend in high school that would call at 2 in the morning. And she called at 2 in the morning because she was ready to do it. You know, it was like, that's it, I got to go. I'm like, no, don't. Don't go. Talk to me. And, you know, she's still with us today. She has children. She has grandchildren. And, you know, we were literally just chatting over Facebook Messenger like a couple of days ago. You know, for the love of God, people, turn to somebody. I love you. Don't leave. It's, yeah. It's, you know, it's simple. It's simple.
Yeah. But, oh, yeah. It's
sometimes you don't need much.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll climb off the soapbox. But just, yeah, man, that just, that really rocked my world last night. And like, even like when I posted the picture on Instagram today of me and Jill at the Mayhem Festival, I was tearing up as I was writing. So I'm like, man, what do I write so it doesn't sound cheesy? Anyone who normally follows the stuff that I post for our Instagram will notice I hashtag the hell out of it. And I didn't hashtag a single thing because I could care less if somebody finds this and follows the channel. Like, this was about paying tribute to Jill. Mm-hmm. You know, this was paying tribute to somebody that I've never been able to call a friend, but somebody that I would have loved to have called a friend because I related to her and to what went on in her life and how she got to where she was. You know, like oh my goodness, musicians can be so friendly and so catty and so competitive, but so supporting. And it's just, but it's so bizarre. Like if you're a bunch of metal musicians, typically we all get along. If you're a bunch of jazz musicians, they all get along. But when you start to try to mix the genres, it doesn't always mix. And it's like, why not? They're all related, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she saw that. And so few people can see the relations and all that sort of stuff. And just, fuck, man.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to, are not following us on Instagram and you want to see Aaron's picture, RadMetal666, and I also posted a couple pictures that I took of her same tour. You talked to her at the Mayhem tour, right, in 2013?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those same great tour. Shots you posted too.
Yeah, you saw her in Pittsburgh and I saw her in Tampa, and I posted my two favorite shots that I took. So if anybody wants to check that out, you know, go ahead. RadMetal666. Mm-hmm.
Yes, please do. Yes, I know I'll never forget the experience that I had with her, just from hanging out with her and interviewing her and all that. But one of the things I'll always remember the most is my wife is Wiccan. Jill Miss Janice is obviously Wiccan as well. And when she said hello to my wife just through the interview and said, "Blessed be," you know, that meant a lot to both of us. And all that. And when I played the interview back for Mrs. Snowy and all that, she's like, "Oh, wow, that's fantastic." Because she didn't have to do that, you know. I'm just, you know, this. Yep. I never met her. Yeah. Who is this person and all that? But they had that connection.
Hey,
and
you know,
I think she felt it. Yeah.
And for the record, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, you know, I think Snowy calls me the good Christian boy. On the show a lot. So I'm a Catholic, right? And so if you read the news, I should not like Jill just based on the fact that she's a pagan. And so let's hope that everybody can get the fact that we can get past our differences because there's more that draws us together.
Of course.
You know, and what drives me fucking crazy with organized religion, I'm sorry, I'm on a soapbox again. What drives me fucking crazy about organized religion is you have these people that refuse to see the relationships, that refuse to see, well, how does paganism relate to Christianity? Show me how it doesn't. Let's sit down and read Genesis together and tell me how the communion with nature that's a big, big part of paganism isn't like the book of Genesis. Go. Right? Like fuck, did you read this stuff or are you stuck in the damn gospel? Well, Jesus said this. Yeah. You know what Jesus didn't say? Jesus didn't say, "Hey, I don't like gay people." Jesus didn't say, "I don't like heavy metal." Jesus said, "Love your fucking neighbor."
That's right.
That's a direct quote.
Yeah. He was this close to dropping the F-bomb when
he was pissed.
He was not happy. Yeah.
Hey, remember, it is not out of character for Jesus to go into a temple and throw over the tables and flog some bankers. So.
I said it. JC was the very first headbanger. Like, he was.
He's the first metal dude.
Yeah. He's like, listen, fuck this water and the wine stuff. Metallica, 86. You're going to love it. You know, like, just.
Oh. I'm glad you said that. Just, I'm going to preface that. I'm glad you said 86.
You said the M word. You said the M word.
That's okay, because I'm about to in my metal fix.
Okay. Just, man, like, one of the best discussions about religion, faith, spirituality was with a friend who is gay and Wiccan. That should make most Christians' heads spin right off, right? Because we are and the thing is, this is on all sides of the argument. Everybody just has their blinders on. Nobody's trying to take a minute to see how do we all relate, you know? And if we did, because I mean, like, again, you got to read the Psychology Today article. It's fantastic. But man, Jill suffered a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that she went through, you know, and you know, you piece things together through articles, and it's just like, none of it needed to happen, you know. None of it needed to happen. We box ourselves off so much, you know. Like, again, one other reason to continue the Normie Outreach Program, but just fuck, man. I don't think I can speak coherently anymore. I'm out. All right. It just bothers me so bad, you know? Like, I just can't believe it.
Probably the biggest reason why it's bothering you so much is because, like you said, yeah, we I don't know, like, would she ever consider as friends? I don't know. I'm sure just friends in spirit, but we've all had the connection to her in one way or another. And I remember while I was interviewing her, my friend Ducky, okay, was going record shopping with Michael Amott at the same time, because Huntress was coming through Winnipeg here. Support. They were on the same bill as Creator and Arch Enemy.
Wow.
And while I'm doing this interview, like, Ducky's record shopping with Michael Amott and hanging out with him. And meanwhile, afterwards, he's telling me, yeah, this is what I was doing. I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, I would have loved to have done that. That would have been awesome. But I was doing this interview. Hindsight now, I think I got the better deal. I really do. Yeah. And we want to take a moment out to say hello and horns up to her significant other, Blake Meal, in the band. Yeah. He's a really good guy as well. And of course, the other guitarist in Huntress, Eli Santana, good friend of this show. We've had him on a couple times when he was part of Holy Grail and with Huntress and all that. Mm-hmm. And like, I haven't seen him in a while, but he's definitely a guy that we consider friend for sure. So yeah, our thoughts, our prayers, whatever, you know, we're sending it out to them tonight.
Definitely.
They're definitely suffering.
Your middle fix?
Okay. Well, before we kind of get into that though, and this episode isn't exactly how, because every time I sit down, I kind of think, okay, we're going to do this, this, and this sort of in this order and all that, but we're kind of all over the place. With good reason, because this week, you know, not only did we lose Miss Janice, but we lost Randy Rampage as well. Mm-hmm. Now, who Randy Rampage was, probably the majority of our listeners are old school meddlers and will remember Mr. Rampage from as the vocalist from the first Annihilator record, Alice in Hell. Yep. That's probably where the majority of our listeners will know him from. He actually predates that many years, as well as one of the founders of DOA, the legendary, you know, Canadian punk rock band and all that. So I remember, you know, finding out that, okay, when Annihilator came out and he had this singer and he was with DOA, and me being, you know, that metal punker, that, you know, metal punk hardcore, it's all good to me. Like, I thought, man, that's fucking cool. Like, he's in both of these bands, or he was in both, and he's in both scenes and all that. And, you know, and he bounced back and forth between Annihilator and DOA over the years and all that. We never had a big connection to Mr. Rampage apart from the only time he really came up on this show was when I had the good fortune of speaking to Joey Shithead from DOA, and he put over Mr. Rampage big time, because it's like, no way that I could speak to Joey knowing our audience and not mention Mr. Rampage and all that. We'd get lynched. We would get all sorts of hate mail. Like, what the fuck, Snowy? Yeah. Why didn't you ask him this and all that? Yeah, yeah. So that's what I'm, you know, the first time that I saw, like, the Alice in Hell video and all that, and then that talk with Mr. Shithead and all that. It's just, yeah, yeah, those are memories that I'll definitely take. So at this time, we want to say, you know, our condolences to the Janice and the Rampage families. That's too bad. And that's it. I don't want to hear any more. You know, I don't want to go the rest of 2018, you know, without any more tragedies, because it hasn't been good. It's been better than some years, but it's been worse than others and all that so far. For my metal fix, I'm kind of stoked to get on with tonight's creature feature. So I'll try to be quick here.
Famous last words.
Yeah, yeah. Last episode, I put over pretty big Reaper Metal Productions with all the great stuff they were doing, and $20 Spin. This week, though, I want to give horns and a shout out to Metal Blade Records, who are going to be starting the fall season off in style. Do you guys remember a band called Satan? Their heyday was in the early 80s. They were at the tail end of the whole new wave of British heavy metal and all that. And they were a pretty big underground band at the time. You know, like you mentioned, any band from Megadeth to Anthrax to Slayer to Metallica to any of those bands, hey man, what do you think of Satan? They'd go, oh man, the Court and the Act record was fucking awesome, man. Like, that's exactly what they would say. Satan is still around. Coming up in the fall, September 7th, Metal Blade is dropping their latest record, Cruel Magic. That came across my desk, and I was given that a spin this week, and it's like, wow, I could see, like, Satan hasn't, they haven't dropped, you know, they haven't missed a beat. Like, this is some fantastic stuff. I want to get into a track, probably the first single we'll go with in a little bit. And that also made me think, the new wave of British heavy metal, as we knew it from the early 80s, the mid 80s and all that, it's still kind of around. Like, Satan is still doing it. Praying Mantis dropped a new record this year. So did the Tigers of Pantang, Cloven Hoof, Diamond Head put out a wicked record and toured last year and all that. What's old is new again, or at least is still around and all that. And I think it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, 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 for sure. For sure, for sure. As well, the new Siege of Power record, Warning Blast, came above my desk. What Siege of Power is, it's the side project from one Chris Reifert, who was best known as, you know, one of the original members of Death, and then he went on to form Autopsy.
Yeah.
Which is probably, yeah, the majority of our listeners. We've actually had Mr. Reifert on the show, and he, you know, we got on and he talked about all things Autopsy. Definitely want to have him on again. Siege of Power is kind of like a short, grinding, to the point, kind of gets political at times, very different from Autopsy and all that, but really digging it. Warning Blast, check it out. Is also, oh God, his name escapes me too. One of the guitarists from Aisphyx is in that band as well. And I saw that and it's like, no fucking way. That's awesome, because Aisphyx are still around and they were really fucking cool. You know, like the old days in the early 90s when Martin Van Druin had left Pestilence and formed Aisphyx. And it's like, wow, you know, like this is some awesome stuff. And it's good to see all of these still kicking around. And does everyone remember Monstrosity?
Nope.
Does that name ring a bell? It should.
Yeah. I mean, it's Corpse Grinder's first, well, maybe not his first band, but the band he was in just before Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah. He was on the first two Monstrosity albums. They're still around. They're still doing it. Actually, I think this is their first record in like 8 years or something like that. Passage of Existence as well. Metal Blade is pushing that, and I gave that a spin too, and it's like that is some cool stuff. If you're an old school Monstrosity fan, if you like Cannibal Corpse, if you're just a digger of death metal, okay, you're definitely going to want to give this a listening to.
I'm sorry. Did you ever hear Monstrosity's cover of Angel of Death with Corpse Grinder singing?
I never gave it much. Like, I saw the YouTube and all that, but I never really gave it much, because 800 million bands have done Angel of Death.
Well, to me, it stands out because Corpse Grinder is one of the things he likes to do is like when the first song on a Cannibal album, he'll always do a scream, rah! You know, one of his famous screams, you know, and Angel of Death, you know, there's that Tom Araya, ah! Well, he does his version of it, and it gives me goosebumps every time. I don't know why. I absolutely love that version of the song.
With that in mind, I'm going to give that a spin tonight, I think.
Yeah, it's really good.
Right on. As well, in early September, courtesy of Horror, Pain, Gore, Death Productions, the debut EP for Retorsion Terror is coming out. This is a really cool grindcore band from Japan. I was cranking that as well. Some really good stuff. But you know what? I think we'll drop a track with them as well. Aaron, you mentioned Metallica, 1986.
That's the year.
It's funny. It's funny how you should mention that, because I happened to find, while I was pissing around on YouTube, okay, I happened to find my favorite concert of all time. Okay, the Metallica, right after Cliff Burton had passed away, and we talked about it ad nauseum on this show and all that. They cross Canada supporting the Master of Puppets record. I found the Winnipeg date up on YouTube when they played the Playhouse.
So is it the video or just audio?
It's just audio, but man.
Well, there's a vinyl of that show that you can.
Oh, I'm sure.
Vinyl.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
oh, I'm sure.
I've seen it at Park Avenue CDs. They had it for a while.
It's definitely something that I should look out for and all that, because I found myself like listening to this and I'm like, man, that's beautiful.
I was there.
Is that man?
Is that me I hear screaming right there?
That's right. And finally, I want to say, everyone who skateboards should be reading Thrasher magazine anyways, but even if, you know, you're just a music fan and all that, you're going to want to check out the new issue, because not only is there, speaking of George Corpse Grinder, there's an interview with the man, but as well Gruesome. There's a real cool article with Gruesome, and it's not with Mr. Harvey as you'd expect. It's not even with Robin Mazin as you'd expect. They gave the spotlight with this interview to Gus Rios.
Oh, because he's a huge skater.
Oh, there you go.
If you follow him on Instagram, he's constantly posting skateboard pictures and videos. And Gruesome has two boards or two or three boards, skateboards. Yeah.
So it definitely works. It definitely works and all that. So I was totally stoked to see that. See, that's one of the great things. Thrasher magazine, like, okay, if you're not into skateboarding and all that, the culture is connected to metal and hardcore and punk and all that, and their music section is fantastic and all that, so I definitely recommend it. I'm going to recommend the new Satan album, Cruel Magic, some good old school metal for the new generation. Let's go with the first single off of that. This is Satan with Doomsday Clock. We'll be right back. drops in September. Go and check out the new Retortion Terror from Horror, Pain, Gore, Death. I cannot stress that enough. Great record. Even better people. Check it out. If the name Vanessa Nocera doesn't ring a bell, okay, yeah, I think after tonight's creature feature, you're definitely going to be asking yourself, well, why not? It probably really should have, because it's just like we've interviewed legendary artists, like bands that we grew up listening to. Okay, and you would think that would be a little intimidating. And in some ways it is. Okay. What maybe not so much intimidating, but maybe daunting. Daunting might be, you know, a better way of describing it, because it's definitely going to be relevant to tonight's creature feature in Vanessa Nocera, because when I sat down and I had a good grip on her past and her pedigree and everything that she had done, and I was pretty sure, okay, I'm ready. Okay, I can do this. Like, this is an amazing musician, an amazing person. She has done so much for underground death and black metal. I am stoked for this interview. And then I pressed record. And then I had her on the other end, and I have to admit, I was like, okay, because where do you start? Where do you start with everything that she had done? And you just and I'm even getting flustered now thinking about it, because yeah, she's got the latest project, but she's got this project with this legendary artist, and before that she was doing this, and before that she was doing this, and a record label and a horror magazine. And it's like, oh my God. Holy shit. I think between the two of us, we managed to get her story out there. First and foremost, the important thing, well, right now that she's pushing, is her latest band, the black metal band Cauldron Burial. The new record, Amante de Ultra Tomba. I have no idea what that is in English. She's going to get it into more detail in her interview, but I was given that a spin, and it's like, wow, this is absolutely some amazing stuff. And that was a good place to start with. We went on into some of her past projects, working with Steve-O and Pedigo. Ash Thomas has been in a variety of bands, and of course with her husband, Billy Nocera, who him in his own right is an amazing person who definitely we should have on the show. Oh, but no better person to explain absolutely everything than Mrs. Nocera herself. To get us there, let's drop a track from that new upcoming Cauldron Burial record. This is Exorcismo Perversa.
Magdalena?
I want to take communion. But not in my mouth, but down here in my pussy.
She's not well, Father Conrad. Magdalena, please!
You dirty nun fucker.
Yeah.
First and foremost, I gotta say that compiling this interview, I was kind of like, oh, holy geez, where do I start? Like with most, bands, they've got one thing going on and they want to talk about this, and it's really easy. But then I looked up everything that's relevant to you right now, and I went, oh boy. Okay.
I do that too if it makes you feel better.
Okay. But first and foremost, you're probably going to want to talk about your upcoming release with your latest band, Cauldron Burial. You're probably going to want to start there.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, the second album is ready. It's called Amanti di Oltretumba, which translates from Italian as Lovers Beyond the Grave. As you can tell from the cover art, it has like a necromantic vibe, as did the first album. That's kind of the running theme, the current that runs through the album. So, but yeah, I mean, I just secured a vinyl release with Von Frost Records. Won't be until late winter, but also have a CD release to announce soon. Not just yet, but soon. So.
Okay. Because I was a little confused because I'm like, okay, a vinyl release with Von Frost, but she's like, you have other projects on other labels and all that, so it's like, well, okay, like,
yeah.
But you're just saying, okay, you can't quite announce anything right now, because I imagine over time, and all that with your various other projects, you have built kind of a relationship with a variety of other labels as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Right on.
I spread it around, I guess.
And that's one of the things that kind of caught my attention with what's going to be the latest Cauldron Burial. Part of the promotions, you mentioned an influence from the necromantic movies. Okay. Oh, now, yeah. I don't mean to be stereotypical or nothing like that, but I've watched those movies with some young ladies as well, and I didn't exactly get a lot of positive responses, and now I'm hearing, I'm seeing this. It's like, well, she's right into stuff like this. This is absolutely amazing.
Totally. Yeah.
Obviously you have a strong horror influence in your music as well, and we're going to try to get to as many of these artists as possible, but yeah, obviously you're big on the horror. You're not very squeamish.
Absolutely not, no.
right on.
I never have right. been, so
right on. What came first with you, the love of brutal metal or brutal horror? I'm always kind of curious with this.
Horror movies, definitely. I saw Nightmare on Elm Street when I was 2, and Children of the Corn, The Shining, those are the main ones from when I was a toddler. And my grandmother, my whole family loves horror movies, so I kind of came by it honest, but that definitely came first. And then I bought Kill 'Em All when I was 7, looming on the age of 8.
So it kind of
made sense that, you know, I guess you could say I'm into extreme art. So it made sense. Horror movies, metal, horror comics, definitely a running theme there in my life.
right on. And before you met your husband, was this a concern, like when meeting young potential gentlemen callers, they're like, holy shit, this chick is weird, like what's going on? Did you ever encounter that?
all the time, all of my life. Yes. Yes. Okay. I'm used to, yeah. I never changed, so obviously I don't give a shit what other people say.
Right on. That's the spirit. That's the spirit. Yes. I'm exactly the same way.
Yeah.
Speaking of the mister, that would be your husband, Billy.
Yeah.
Okay, and you've gone on quite a journey with him, with the music and a variety of other projects, including probably the very first time that I had even heard of everything you do was, I don't know how many years ago it was now, but you were in a band called Wooden Stake. And you and the mister were doing up Razorback Recordings.
Yes, yes.
Is that still, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Is Razorback Recordings, is that still a thing? Are you guys still like a label?
It's not as active. Unfortunately, it's just kind of, we've been focused on our music versus putting out other people's music. So it's kind of fallen a little to the wayside, but we, you know, there are plans of brewing, but as of right now, it's kind of just a mail order currently, I guess you could say.
Okay.
But yeah, it's not very, it's not active really, honestly.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. If you're concentrating on your own art, then yeah, something's got to give.
Yeah,
something's
got
to give. But I do want to take a couple of seconds out here just to promote for all of our listeners just everything, like how awesome Razorback Recordings is. Because when you go over like some of your past releases, wow, some of the artists that you've had, like Ghoul, Gruesome Stuff Relish, Hooded Menace, Impaled, Impetigo, General Surgery, these are all bands that we've talked about on the show and have pushed and all that. And you've actually put out releases with them.
Yeah. Billy, from what I understand, I mean, this was before I was around, but he helped create Ghoul, and he definitely helped create Hooded Menace. He gave him the name, he gave him the logo, gave him the concept, and so he started a lot of bands.
We just had Ghoul on just last year when they came through town, and like I didn't know that. That's fantastic. Little history lesson here. Right on. With your own stuff as well, probably one of the bands that are probably until the Cauldron Burial record comes out, probably the band you've been getting the most attention with lately has been Vault Wraith. The death is a proof of Satan's power, courtesy of the fine folks at Hell's Headbangers.
Yeah.
How did that come about, and what's kind of the status with that?
Vault Wraith formed after the second Wooden Stake album. I was working with Willie Wardlow, who replaced Wayne, which for the record, I didn't want to continue Wooden Stake without Wayne, but he kind of gave an okay. And so I started working with Willie, and we kind of decided for the time being to lay Wooden Stake to rest. But I wanted to continue working with Willie, and so we kind of kicked some ideas around. We had the name Vault Wraith around. We had a logo, and we decided, why not just start from the ground up with something new? And we started doing an album, and that's how the first album came about. So, and the song that I wrote, Manifest at Midnight, that's on the album, was actually for the third Wooden Stake album. Obviously didn't happen, but so it kind of, the second Wooden Stake album was kind of, it carried over into what Vault Wraith became. So that's that.
Cool. That was when I first saw the name Vault Wraith. I thought, well, that's a kind of a unique name and all that. What the hell is a Vault Wraith?
Well, a wraith is a vengeful spirit. So it's kind of a vengeful spirit coming from a vault, I guess you could say.
Oh, okay. So this is your own compound. Like, this is 100% Vanessa then. Like, that's awesome.
Pretty much. I mean, well, I feel like, you know, when we were trying to come up with a name, we were actually trying to come up with a name for our comic book. And I liked the word vault, and then we liked the word wraith, and then I feel like it may actually have been Billy who was like, why not Vault Wraith? And I was like, well, there we go. Now let's get a logo made and let's do whatever this is going to be. So, and eventually, obviously, it became the band. So,
right on. And your debut record with that appeared on Hell's Headbangers Records. Really good friends of ours. I cannot push that enough. How did that business arrangement come about with them? Did they call you, or you had demos with it, or just what happened with that?
Well, we were vending at Wasteland, and they vend at Cinema Wasteland in Cleveland, Ohio. And I feel like Billy just kind of approached them, and I mean, they had some interactions in the past, obviously, you know, fellow label owners in the scene, dealing with like doing trades and stuff like that. But I mean, I guess he just kind of asked them, hey, can I send you some stuff from our band? Maybe you guys would be interested in putting it out. And they agreed, and we sent it over, and the next thing we knew, we had an album out. It was coming out on Hell's Headbangers, so it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
But the most recent release under the Vault Wraith banner, I believe, was a split with none other than the Mighty Nunslaughter as well.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a Hell's Headbangers release, but I imagine you're a Nunslaughter, like Dawn of the Dead's a great guy. We've had him on the show as well.
I imagine
you were pretty excited about that. Were you kind of a fan of Nunslaughter going into this?
Absolutely, yeah. Actually, Jim Konya, I had the pleasure to meet him a few times, and it was kind of weird. He was a fan of mine, and I was a fan of his, and we kind of bonded, and we were talking about potentially doing something together, because he, you know, I don't want to sound that, I don't know how this will sound, but he basically was like, I love your voice, and I really want to do something with you. And I was like, absolutely, I'm always ready to do something new, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of, you know, Nunslaughter's always been there, you know. So it just kind of came about that, and also, you know, we cite Jim as an influence on Vault Wraith, because when we were kind of putting the band together and the ideas and the concepts, he was still alive. He was still with us. So he's definitely been an influence on us. So, and a driving force to do this. So, yeah, absolutely. It was really killer to do something with Nunslaughter.
Right on. Unfortunately, I never got the opportunity to meet Jim, but I've had we've dedicated stuff to him, and he's just, we've had his friends on, and it's just, it seemed like he was such a great guy. And I actually saw a picture of you and the Mister and Jim together on social media. And I got to say, it warmed my heart. It warmed my heart.
He was really nice. He was a great guy. Great guy. We were sitting together face to face with him, we were inspiring each other. We were making each other laugh. You know, it was a good, you know, well-rounded conversation between the two of us. It was definitely give and take with him. It wasn't, I'm talking and I'm not going to listen to you, or you're a woman and you don't know anything. And it was nothing like that at all. Nothing like that. He was exactly how people just, I see people all the time talking about him, and he is exactly how he's described. He was totally give and take. So great guy.
Right on. All of your bands are important, but something that really, really kind of got my attention, though, was you're working with the band Surgikill, because I go back, Impetigo is one of my favorite bands, like with the very first record way back when. I'm really old, by the way.
Age is nothing but a number.
That's right. And when I saw that, you know, this band was being put together with Steve-O from Impetigo, it's like, oh, this is awesome. I'm going to have to check this out. And the Sanguinary Revelations record was absolutely killer. How did everything with Surgikill come about? Like, how did you meet him, and were you a fan going into this project?
Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, that's how I heard of Razorback, was from the Impetigo reissues. Because I was a fan of Impetigo, and then saw Razorback was doing the reissues. That's where I learned of Razorback. So, and then Steve-O, we did Tombstones. We released that with Steve-O on vocals, and I did some lyrics, and I was asked to do like the interlude parts for Steve-O to do like the Crypt Keeper voice. So I wrote that. So worked with him on that, and then we did just a demo for a band called Twist Ending that's all we did was a demo. I just did guitar and bass, and then Steve-O did the vocals. So we had some working history with us before Surgikill, and I've hung out with him a couple of times. Fun guy, real easy to work with, and Surgikill kind of just came together thanks to Billy, just kind of assembling everyone together, and that's about it.
Right on. What's the stat? Because it's been a couple of years since that record, and you know, what's kind of the status with that?
I guess it's kind of hard to get everyone on the same page because we have, you know, Ash, Sudeika, they do other projects, and so it's kind of, you know, everyone's kind of busy, and we've kicked around ideas for the second album. I have lyrics kind of ready to go, so it's kind of just a matter of getting some riff ideas going and just laying down some tracks, I guess. But I mean, I'd love to say that we were working on a second album like right at this moment, but we're not. But maybe by the end of the year, we can maybe get something going. I'm always ready to go. So.
Right on. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Ash, because that was going to be my next question. With Surgikill, not only, you know, do you have Steve-O in the band, but you have one Ash Thomas in the band who's, wow. When you look at his pedigree and how busy that guy is with Crucified Mortals and Shed the Skin and Faith Extractor and all that, that's no slouch there himself.
That's right.
I definitely would like more Surgikill from you. Cool. Right on. But I imagine Cauldron Burial is what's taking up the majority of your time with this. So what's going to be happening, like, with whatever you can mention, like, what about tours?
For, I don't mind playing. I like to play live, but none of my bands really play live. It's just, you know, studio band, I guess you could say, just recording project. I don't like the word project either. So, we're strictly recording, for now. I mean, if we're offered, maybe we can make something happen, but I mean, at the moment we're just, a recording band. So,
okay. That's fair enough. how do you find time? Like, when you just go over all that you do and you have a personal life, and I'm sure none of this actually pays the bills, so I'm sure you work and all that. Like, what your schedule and what you like, you must be one of the busiest people like in music right now.
I feel like I am. I actually can say that it does make me money. And also, you know, Billy and I, we do Evil Speak, and that makes us money too. So we're constantly going, and I'm fortunate to say that, yeah, I do this. This is my job. This is my day-to-day routine is getting up, doing music, packaging up orders. I'm working on something new right now, so that's kind of been my latest obsession at the moment. Something in the vein of Wooden Stake. I can't have idle hands. My brain is constantly going, constantly coming up with something new. I'm constantly writing. I'm constantly going. So, yeah.
I do
keep busy.
Right on. And we'll be sure, you know, as more and more, as you know, we're going to be doing a lot more with you in the future with every new release and all that. So sure. I hope you don't mind getting used to my voice. We're going to do all that we can.
Anytime.
Right on. And finally, I'm kind of, cause I'm a horror film fanatic myself and all that. And so I'm glad you mentioned Evil Speak, because I wanted, you know, to go out, to give you an opportunity to kind of tell everyone the whys and wherefores and exactly what Evil Speak is.
Evil Speak Horror Magazine, which it's funny, we still call it a magazine, but technically now they're books.
Oh, okay.
We don't like to put limitations on the writers. We like them to do what they want to do. And sometimes we get a feature that's 2 pages, and sometimes we get a feature that's 20 pages. We don't care. You know, it's just a celebration and a worship of horror movies, European horror movies, Asian horror movies, American horror. We don't care. We just want obscure movies out there for people to discover. And hell, some of the writers throw stuff at us and we're like, what the hell is that? Cool. Let's check it out. Yeah, go for it. Write whatever you want to do. So, that's what it's all about. Just spreading the word and, worshiping horror.
Yeah.
Noble now one of Mrs. Nocera's many projects. That is Vault Wraith from the Hell's Headbangers. Death is proof of Satan's power records with Devilcraft. That is some good shizite, man, for sure, for sure. That's just everything. All of these great bands, from Cauldron Burial to Vault Wraith to Surgikill to all of her bands from within the Razorback Recordings record label and all that, all fantastic stuff. And I am so stoked to have Mrs. Nocera on, and we will once again. Speaking of which, right now, and I believe that this is going to be going on for a little while yet, Razorback Records, all of their CDs are going for a mere $5 each. That is a fucking steal. That is a steal. Brand new CDs. Go to recordbackrecordings.com. Google it, check it out. Like, there's some wicked, wicked, brutal underground death metal. And particularly, check out some of Vanessa's stuff. Her bands, Wooden Stake and Howling. Great stuff, great stuff. Check it out. Just everything, all of the projects that she talked about. Man, you're going to want to do yourself a favor and check out. Well, I think we got through another week. It was a little tough. It was a little tough this week, I have to admit, with everything that went down. But I think that we soldiered through it, and I don't think anyone would mind if we go out on a Huntress song to pay tribute to this fantastic lady. How about the band that I heard of them from their first record? How about the track Eight of Swords? Let's go out with that. How can people get a hold of us with all of that wacky, wonderful social medias type stuff?
Well, first off, we have the website, radioactivemetal.org, where you'll find about 100 past episodes there. And if you prefer to listen to us on Apple Podcasts or any other aggregator out there, the same episodes are available. Just search for Radioactive Metal. On the social media platforms, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/radmetal. We are on Twitter and Instagram, and both of them, we're at radmetal666.
Right on, right on. And of course, Radioactive Metal is proud members of the Shining Wizards Podcast Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. Check it out. Not only are we there, but there's all sorts of wicked podcasts, from pro wrestling to pop culture to lifestyles. It's your one-stop shop for all things awesome podcasts. In the meantime, and in between time, that's it. This has been an Into the Cauldron episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
And this is Aaron.
Signing off.
Visit us at radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to RadioactiveMetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.